My name is Megan Rokeby Thomas, and I'm one of the owners of the Ladybug Coffee Shop in Kootenai Bay. And I also sit on the working committee of the Our Fairy Matters group, which is working with various media or various government organizations to extend the hours of the ferry.
So the Our Fairy Matters committee. Goal is to extend the hours of the ferry, help people get medical services, get into town for school, work, shopping, whatnot. What are the current hours of the ferry? From my understanding, they used to run from 5:40 a.m. to 1:10 a.m. every day. Why did they cut them back?
I'm not 100% sure of the reason why they cut the ferry hours back. I do know there was going to be a negotiation over the later ferry times, and I don't believe that negotiation ever happened. They cut the ferries back, I believe, when it went from Ministry of Transportation to Western Pacific Marine. Our group got involved because Western Pacific Marine actually approached our community last June to say that if we were ever going to ask for extended hours on the ferry, now is the time to do it. We had a group working on getting later and earlier ferries before COVID hit. And when COVID hit, we were all told to stay home, so we couldn't justify asking for earlier and later ferries. So the manager of Western Pacific Marine was aware that that was one of our community wants that we would like. And actually, I would phrase that more as it's one of our community needs. So he approached us in June to say, if there's ever a time, now's it. And the reason being is because the crews currently on the ferry work 6 days on, 3 days off. If they worked longer hours in the day, they would be able to work day-for-day service. And the ideal terms that the ferry crews would like is they would like to work 7 days on, 7 days off. We know in the mornings there's huge demand for an earlier ferry, for all the issues you've mentioned, work, for school, for emergency services. Right now, one of the examples I'll give you is we have a 17-year-old girl who's going to Selkirk College for her first year taking the culinary arts, and she had to get a dorm in Nelson rather than commute from here because she was going to be 15 minutes late for class every day. Things like the band, the extracurricular activities for all our high school students that commute over there, at this point, they can't take part in them. So we're working really hard with the whole community and the crews to come up with a solution that works for everyone. So our community is really working to help the ferry crew make these really wanted jobs for people in our community. We're looking at working to help figure out issues, like make it an attractive place for people to come and work. There are many people that have been on the ferries for a long, long time that have raised their families on the ferry living. But the quality of life right now with the 6 on, 3 off is horrible for them.
Yeah, I would have thought, you know, extending hours would be like, oh, that's going to, you know, make it worse for the employees on the ferry, right? They're going to be working longer days. But when you're saying it, putting it that way, they put it into a 7 and 7 shift, you know, that is a lot more attractive.
100%, and that's what the crews want. That's where they were successful before. But we also know as a group, we cannot justify sailing air. Previous ferry schedules had midnight sailings every night of the week. We're looking at it and saying, you know, we can't justify a midnight sailing on a Tuesday night and have it sail empty every time. So we're working with the crews and talking to the ministry and talking to the employer, Western Pacific Marine, as well as the union, to come up with creative solutions on how we can make this work. The Ministry of Transportation has the ultimate say. The support and the encouragement we've got leads us to believe if we can come up with a solution that is going to help make these jobs awesome again, and it's going to benefit our community that we have more hours for emergency services, we can get to work on time in the morning, more families could live over here, things like that, then it's a win-win for everyone involved. And the ministry has been so helpful so far. Like, our MLA has been over here at least 3 times. We've talked to her about different options. She's been helping us with guidance and advice. We presented her with the package on the ferry just a week and a half ago now. And it's my understanding she's already given it to the Minister of Transportation.
going back to what you said there about how we can't have midnight sailings, we can't be sailing air, how is it even possible to make sure that doesn't happen? What about the cost of extending the hours, not just for paying employees, but for the actual cost of running the ferry?
Good question, and very relevant. Right now, the ferries are, for labor costs, they're paying a lot of overtime, and they're paying a lot of what they call days off in lieu. And they're also importing people on auxiliary shifts. So the cost in labor, we've asked the ministry, and we've asked Western Pacific Marine, would it actually balance out? You know, if we're not paying overtime and we're not paying the cost to bring people here on short-term contracts. And to be honest, we're not sure of all the answers. Like, that's why it is so important that we all stay communicating. So some of those questions we've asked the ministry, can you justify it for us? Like, can you tell us how much each sailing costs? There's different ideas too. Like, one of the ideas, let's say on Sunday through Thursday, instead of having a later sailing, maybe the ferry sits in Balfour for an extra 45 minutes before their last sailing. And in that 45 minutes, they do maintenance, cleaning, or the Ministry of Transportation required drills. And then we just have a little bit of a later sailing coming back. And the reason being, like, I talked to one young family just yesterday, actually, and she's registering both her sons in Creston for hockey because their hockey practices end in Nelson at 9. They're going to miss that 9:40 ferry every time. Same things with things like gymnastics classes. Like, there's a lot of classes and events for our young people in Nelson that they can't take right now because the ending time at 9 just puts it too tight for the last ferry. So it's looking for creative solutions.
So earlier we were talking about the reasons for this, and you've just touched on two of them very well. One with the young girl who's taking classes at Selkirk College.
Yeah.
And now, you know, children playing recreational sports, things like that. The big, most important issue to me is medical services.
100%.
Are there examples of people from the East Shore?
Yes.
Any tragedies, things like that happening, or, you know, just
not
emergencies because they can't get on a ferry?
You know, there has been nothing overly tragic that I'm aware of as of yet. There has been a lot of what I would call smaller tragedies. Things like, it's my understanding there was an elderly woman from Ryandell that wasn't going to be able to make her specialist appointment in Trail by taking the first ferry. So she ended up sleeping in her car overnight outside the hospital in Trail because she couldn't be late for a specialist appointment that she'd been waiting months for. There has been times the Creston Emergency Department has not had physicians. So the emergency services then is a 2.5 hour drive to Cranbrook. The Nelson Hospital is the emergency services of choice of most of our community. Right now, if people get sick, they wait for that first ferry in the morning. So that's a couple hours extra every day. There's been a lot of examples of people going into the emergency room, getting released, like getting the treatment that they urgently need, getting released and not able to make the ferry home.
There's a bunch of issues that come up with that. Like you said, an elderly lady sleeping in her car, people missing appointments. And then there's the fact that a lot of people that need these services are elderly. Now you're putting them on the roads more.
That's right.
Which isn't something that I think anybody wants.
There was a tragedy in the winter. It was before my time here. Community doctor was actually driving someone from our community to Creston for emergency services and went off the road and passed away. Our community is the fastest growing community in BC, we found out recently. In the last Stats Can, we grew by 18%. And that's the East Shore of Kootenay Lake. So that's from Windle to here. We deserve the services to increase because our people are increasing.
Right. Starting to sound like it's more of a real possibility that this could happen soon rather than just a pipe dream.
That's 100% my impression, actually. Like, as I say, this is the first project I've ever worked on or been a part of that everyone really agrees.
Overall, the East Shore community has been overwhelmingly positive about this.
The East Shore community has been overwhelmingly positive, and so has the community on the other side of the lake. Like, we've talked to some of the businesses in Balfour. We've talked to, like, Ainsworth Hot Springs, for example. We've talked to some of the people in Caslow, some of the people in Nelson. the overwhelming majority of people are saying, let's go for it. This is definitely a needed service for our entire area. The other part of what we're trying to do, just so the world is aware, is that there is supposed to be a committee called the Kootenai Lake Ferry Advisory Committee, and that's supposed to have meetings with both sides of the lake, the ministry, Western Pacific Marine, the crew, the union. And that is the committee that would steer the future directions of the ferry. That committee, we can't find reported meetings since 2006. Hmm. So we're insisting that committee get back going again, and then all future decisions of the ferry should then run through this committee. Communication, that's the key to all of this, as far as we're concerned.
Well, it sounds like you're on the right track, you know, getting the package to Bernie Anderson, the local MLA for Nelson Creston, and then getting that to the Ministry of Transportation. If anyone wants to learn more about this cause, get involved, help out, where can they go? Who can they contact?
They can go to the Our Ferry Matters website, and we encourage people to do there. People from both sides of the lake, we encourage to go on there and give their reasonings. They can also contact, like, the names of our committee members are on there, and I know Dee runs our Main Street newspaper over here, and she's very easy to get a hold of, as well as myself at the coffee shop. We're presenting another package to Brittany with more letters of support and more information. Our thought is that we're going to ask the Ministry of Transportation to make their decision by Christmas. It's a great win-win story for everybody. What a great Christmas present.
Yeah, that's coming up quick. We'll have to check in with you again in a couple weeks or a couple months when we see what's going on with this. But Megan, thank you for joining me on Kootenai Co-op Radio.
Thank you very much, Scott. A pleasure is mine.